Good morning. I'm excited I get to share with you today, and if you're watching online, I'm excited I get to share with you as well. Now, usually when Clint asks me to come up in here and share something, he gives me plenty of time. He knows my personality. He knows I'm a planner. I like to set things out. I like to be able to just kind of sit and think and drink my coffee and read my Bible and really find out what God has. Well, this time he told me on Monday. So what you're getting today is something super fresh and something I had to listen for quickly. But how many of you know, and this is what I believe, if we would just go to God and say, use me, he is always faithful. So he can work despite our personalities, despite the things we naturally do, and he can show us something. So I believe that I have something today from God, not because of any of you, but because it spoke to me. It was something that I needed to hear. And as I was planning to share today, I just had one word that kept echoing through my head. And something that I've noticed a lot of people saying, I've noticed myself using it, and it's the word hope. Hope. And, you know, I've heard it over the past few months, like, I hope school starts back normally. I hope people are wearing a mask. I hope people aren't wearing a mask, whichever side you fall on. I hope I can eat in restaurants again soon. I hope I can visit my elderly family member before too long. I hope all this is over before my wedding, my baby shower, my whatever life event you have planned happens. I hope the store has toilet paper when I go. I hope it has cleaning supplies. I hope I can get hand sanitizer. I hope I don't catch coronavirus. I hope, I hope, I hope. Can anyone relate to that? Have you said those phrases? Am I the only one up here? No, we've said it. I was talking with somebody last night, and even though I knew I was going to talk about this, out of my mouth came, I sure hope, whatever I said. Everybody's doing it right now, using the word hope. Or maybe you don't say that. You use hope's sister phrase, I can't wait. I can't wait to go do things like I used to. I can't wait till it goes back to normal. I can't wait. And what I began to realize as I listened to myself is that I was using hope as an expression of uncertainty. I would use it as a cross my fingers, oh, I sure wish and hope and just maybe this could happen. And I was using hope passively and just kind of sitting back and watching how things went. And what happened was I was getting disappointed over and over and over again. And the few weeks have now turned into a few months. And I was just sitting back there realizing this isn't working for me to say I hope. And I know some of you, I'm talking about the pandemic specifically this morning, and some of you have things that have gone on in your lives that maybe for you the pandemic doesn't even seem like a big deal because other things in your life are falling apart right now that aren't even related to that. Relationships are going bad or things that you desperately need you're not getting. And we can just kind of sit back and hope, and you realize that things aren't going according to my plan. I bet if I asked every single one of you, if in January 2020, you knew exactly what it would look like at the beginning of August, none of you in here would have guessed what it's like today, right? So none of this has gone according to any of our plans. So what do we do when our picture of the future changes without our permission? Because that's what's happened. Our idea of the future changed without me saying it could. And what happens if you do that, if your only response is this uncertainty and crossing your fingers and wishing and just maybe and I'll stick it out and I'll push through, you begin to grow numb and you begin to get tired and you begin to be directionless. And it becomes hard to make decisions. You know, I caught myself about a month ago sitting on my couch just staring glassy-eyed trying to decide what to make for supper. And I sat there for like 30 minutes just sitting there because I was done cooking for my family day in and day out and having to go to the store and thinking through the whole process that looks new. And I realized I'm getting numb and I'm getting directionless and it's hard to make decisions. It's not so bad when you're just planning supper, but what if you're trying to decide something important for your life and you have that numb feeling? That just sitting back and hoping and just maybe God could do something. But here's what I believe. As Christians, our hope is not supposed to be passive. We're not to just supposed to sit back and just not take an effort in it and cross our fingers and maybe throw up a prayer to God. That's not what hope is supposed to be. Our hope is supposed to be active. It's supposed to be a confident expectation in what our God can do. And so what I want to do this morning is change the way you see hope. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we actually understand biblical hope. We have to understand biblical hope. We have hope because God so loved the world that while all of us were a bunch of sinners and messing up, he chose to send his son. Not only did he send his son, his son had to take the punishment that I deserved. That's why I have hope. And so when we begin to think about that, what Jesus did allows us to have a relationship with God and to come to him as our Father. You know, I think about that hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That doesn't leave much other room in there. It's built on Jesus' blood and his righteousness and what he did for us. And that song goes on to say, Christ, the solid rock I stand. He's the one that we're supposed to put our hope in, not the things going on around us. You know, I could stop right here this morning and we could all go home knowing exactly what we need to know, because that is the message of hope that we are supposed to have as Christians. And I know true hope doesn't mean denying that there's a problem. I see Christians do that sometimes. You know, we want to seem godly and things are falling apart, but people ask us how we're doing, and we say, I'm doing great. Hope is not denying that there's a problem. True biblical hope is me looking at a problem and telling it, you are going to have no power over me, and you are going to have no power over my faith and my trust in my God. That is hope. Not denying that it exists, but telling it to take the right place, which is not in the forefront of our mind. And a perfect example of this in the Bible is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if I get tongue-tied as I say these names over and over, I know you'll give me grace because those are some tough names. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you haven't heard the story, it's in the book of Daniel. And it describes these three men. And they were in a country where the king was Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had built this huge statue. And he told his entire country, whenever the music plays, you have to come out here and bow down and worship the statue. So I know a lot of us have heard this story as a kid, but I want to kind of bring something to your attention. Now, if they didn't worship it, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. End of story. No chances. Everyone had to worship this. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were Jews, and they served God, and they realized God probably doesn't want us bowing down to a statue and worshiping it instead of him. So when the time came for everybody to worship, they didn't do it. They didn't bow down. And so they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he actually had grace on them. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. You have one more chance. All you have to do is just bow down. It's not that big of a deal. So let's look at their response in Daniel 3. It's Daniel 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, just hang there for a minute. Even if He doesn't. We want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. See, these men didn't allow their problem to change their faith. They did not even allow their hope to depend on God actually getting them out of the furnace. Their hope was set on God no matter what the circumstances were, even if he doesn't pull us out. That's what I want. I want to be pulled out of the furnace. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. That's hope. That's faith, and that's trust. And that's what we're supposed to have as Christians. Because we don't put our hope in God because he keeps our life smooth and easy. That'd be the great way to do it. I'm all in for that, right? We have sunshine, rainbows, everything looks great. Everything works out because I serve God and I can raise my hands and go around the world and have a smile on my face. But how many of you know, sometimes life creeps in. Things happen. Christians aren't, you know, outside all of the effects of this pandemic. We don't put our hope in God because he makes our life smooth and easy. We put our hope in him because he sent his son to take the punishment that we deserved. We put our hope in him because he promises to be with us in every situation. And the end of the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that they were thrown into the furnace. Now, how many people? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Three people get thrown in. The king and his men look inside. They see four people walking around inside there. And that just shows me they were in the fire, but there was somebody else there with them. My God will not leave me alone. It may not look like how it was supposed to. It would have been a great story if all of a sudden the fire went out and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't even get thrown in. But God does things his way. In doing things his way, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And you have to know that. When you do that, you know that you can have hope in a God like that. And they came out of the furnace unharmed, and the king actually promoted them after that because of what he saw their God able to do for them. So true hope is realizing everything that happens here on earth is just going to affect me for a little while. And if I know Jesus, I have eternity to spend with him. No more problems, no more pain. If we could just get in our head that our life is about this big, eternity is forever. And we just have to endure it for a little while, but that's easier said than done, right? The way I like to think of it, our Christian walk should be like a pair of bifocals. Now, I don't have to wear them, thankfully, but what I've heard is that there's two sections to the lens, right? So the top section is for looking out in the distance, and it keeps that clear, and the bottom section keeps clear what's right here, right? So in our Christian walk, that's how we need to be, to have both lenses, because we need to be able to see clearly in the distance and focus on eternity. That is our true hope and our future and what we are living for. But we also need to see clearly what's going on in our day-to-day. Because if we don't, then we just live in denial and we ignore the problems we're going through and we're not looking clearly. But what I think we do sometimes as Christians is we only look out of one lens. So if I'm only looking out of my top lens, what happens when I'm trying to see things in my life clearly? They're blurry. If I'm only looking out of the bottom lens, I'm not focused on eternity anymore. I'm just focused on my problems. So we have to be able to look out at both parts. And true hope is keeping both of those in perspective. When you see clearly the problems around you, that's why we do things like Project 216, because we can clearly see that there's a need in our school system. If I was just focused on eternity and one day I'll be in heaven and ignore all the things going on here, then we wouldn't be meeting needs in our community. So we need to be able to see both and see them clearly. Another example of how to walk this out is Abraham. God told Abraham to go out and number the stars in the sky. And he said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And the problem was, Abraham and his wife had never had children. And they were mature and older now and couldn't have any kids. And so it tells his story in Genesis, but it talks about it again in Romans. And in Romans 4, verse 17, it says, "That's what the scriptures mean when God told him, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing." So pause there for just a minute. He brings the dead back to life. He creates new things out of nothing. I think we need to hold on to that promise for ourselves. That's not just for Abraham. That's for us. In our lives, if you're needing something this morning, God can create new things out of nothing. And then verse 18, it goes on. It says, "Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping." And his hope wasn't a, "Oh, God, I sure hope and wish and pray I have a son so that I can have descendants." His hope was firm and secure in the fact that he would become a father of many nations because God said to him. God promised it. That stars in the sky, that's how many you're going to have, Abraham. And it goes on to say, Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body as good as dead, and so was his wife Sarah's womb. So this shows us right here, we're not supposed to live in denial. It says in the NIV that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. So he acknowledged it. We're able to acknowledge that things are going wrong in our life without losing faith in the promises that God has. And I think sometimes we just need to get honest with ourselves and get before God and go, "God, this is really hard right now." It's okay to do that, to get with God. The Bible talks about casting your cares on him because he cares for you. You can't give him something if you won't even acknowledge it in your own life, if you're turning a blind eye to it. Now, Abraham had actually over 20 years of waiting for this promise to come about. He kept his hope for 20 years. That's a long time. We're believing for a healing for our daughter, Emma. We've been believing for 17 years. That's a long time. So how do you do that? You know, some of us have trouble waiting for a few days for something. We say a prayer to God and we feel like, "Why aren't you working?" We want immediate. We want fast. We want him to show up now. And sometimes it takes a little time. And what happens if we're waiting for it to happen now and it doesn't? We usually jump in and handle it ourselves, right? And how does that turn out? Not great. So what did Abraham do that we need to learn? In verse 20, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced. That's that confident expectation. That's that hope that I was talking about, that God is able to do whatever he promises. Not only is he able to do it, he will do it. Biblical hope isn't dependent on circumstances. As Christians, we're not supposed to rise in joy in the good times and fall in despair in the bad times. But a lot of us live that way. So now that we know what biblical hope is supposed to look like, we need to be sure that we don't misplace our hope. Don't misplace your hope. So misplace can have a few meanings. The first is to put something in the wrong place. I misplaced that. It's possible to take our confident expectation and put it where it doesn't belong. And I heard an interview recently of a man. He was interviewing a guy named Admiral Jim Stockdale. And this man was a military officer during the Vietnam War. And he was imprisoned and he was tortured. And actually, for about 8 years, he was in the Hanoi Hilton and was tortured. And the man interviewing him asked, "How did you survive that?" And Admiral Stockdale's answer was, "I focused on the end of the story." And to him, the end of the story was, "I'm getting out of here." That was what he focused on. He said, "But at the same time, I did not deny the harsh reality that was going on around me." It's the same thing, seeing those two lenses, like I talked about. He saw the end of the story, but he could also be honest with himself of what was going on. And the interviewer asked him, "Who were the ones who didn't make it out?" And this answer really surprised me. Admiral Stockdale said, "The optimists." I like to think of myself as optimistic. I would think I would be good in that situation, but here's what they did. The optimist said, "We're going to get out of here by Christmas. We'll be home with our families at Christmas time." And then Christmas came and Christmas went, and they were still there. So they said, "Easter. We're going to be home by Easter. We'll see our families by Easter. We won't be going through this at Easter." And Easter came and Easter went, and they were still there. And then Thanksgiving. And then it was Christmas again. And what Admiral Stockdale said is those people put their hope and their trust in a specific date. And when it didn't happen, what happened? They got discouraged and they lost hope. And they'd build it up again because they were optimists, and then they'd get discouraged again. And those were the ones, Admiral Stockdale said, "You know what? I think they just died of a broken heart eventually. They didn't make it out." So what we need to do is to put our hope and our confident expectation in the right place. Admiral Stockdale did in the end of the story. "I'm getting out of here. Don't know when, but I'm getting out of here." Us as Christians, we need to put our confident expectation in the end of the story. No matter what goes on in my life, I know how it's going to be at the end. Things can happen, and I'm going to be okay. God doesn't operate on our time schedule. And that is disappointing to me because I'm a planner. I like to know when things are going to happen and how they're going to happen. God doesn't operate like that. And so I've definitely misplaced my hope a lot of times during this pandemic, saying, "Surely in a couple weeks, this is going to happen. Surely this is going to change and go back to normal." But if I put my hope in anything but the faithfulness and the provision of a God who loves me, I'm going to be disappointed. No matter how optimistic and I can make myself and try and fill myself with joy, we can't put our hope in the wrong place. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." That life sounds pretty good, right? Full of joy, full of peace, overflowing with confident hope. How does that happen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit and trust. That's how we have hope. God is the source of our hope. We have to keep him the source. Not what's going on around me, not my bank account, not what my relationship is currently, not anything but God. He is our source of hope. So the first meaning of misplace is to put it in the wrong place, but it also can mean to lose. I misplaced my keys. I lost them. So we have to be careful that we don't lose our hope. If you feel like that's happened to you, if you're feeling hopeless, then I want you to take a look at Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." The person who wrote this was giving himself a talking to. You know, sometimes I think we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and preach at ourselves for just a minute. And I dare any of you in here, if you're feeling hopeless, go home today and do this. Look yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself. Ask yourself, why are you so sad? Why are you feeling hopeless? Put your hope in God. And then begin to tell yourself the things about God. He's faithful. He loves you. He's already provided everything that you need. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. He was with those three men in the fiery furnace. He's going to be with you. If you look at yourself in the mirror and begin to talk to yourself, preach to your soul, it makes a difference. It's hard to stay down when you're filling yourself up with the promises of God. So while we're reminding ourselves of all these things, what we're doing is actually something very important. We're making hope our anchor. We need to make hope our anchor. In Hebrews 6, verse 17, it says, "God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind." So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, listen to this next part, because it is impossible for God to lie. We need to remind ourselves of that. If he's promised you something, if you read it in the Bible, there is no possibility that it is a lie, because he can't. It's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope, there's that word again, that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What are our souls? Our mind, our will, our emotions. Those are the things that get tossed around. That's the thing that usually leads us in the wrong direction. If I'm paying attention to my mind, I'm being led by my emotions and my will and my stubbornness, things are going to go bad. So the hope is what anchors our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, and Jesus has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest. So that's something we need to tell ourselves this morning. We need an anchor because hardship and storms are going to come. It's part of life. Our hearts tend to drift during those times, and our emotions are going to lead us the wrong way. But sometimes it's not even a storm. Sometimes it's just the busyness of life that's going to throw us off course. And that's why we need hope as our anchor. You know, I was thought about, as I was reading this verse, I kind of pictured the times that I've been at the beach. And if you go out in the water and you stay out there for a while and then you look up at the shore, I usually freak out a little bit because my stuff is no longer right in front of me. Now, has my stuff moved? No, I have. The waves have pulled. It's just a gentle little pull. And all of a sudden, I end up down from where I left my stuff. It's no longer right in front of me. Now, I didn't notice it. The waves don't even have to be strong. But there's this gentle tug that pulls me away from where I'm supposed to be, where my things are. And so that's why you need an anchor. Because life, if you're not careful, will slowly pull you away through getting busy, through just during this whole pandemic thing. What's happened is we've broken our habits. The habits that we've gotten into, if you're a person who likes routine and order, those are thrown out the window for a while. And so we begin to drift without even noticing it. And if you're not careful and you don't have that hope as an anchor for your soul, then you're going to end up way far away from where you're supposed to be, where your provision is. That beach bag that you packed for yourself that has your towel and your food and everything that you need is no longer there when you need it. It hasn't moved. We have. That's why it's so important to anchor ourselves to God. Because if I anchor myself to my circumstances and my job or the current story I'm watching on the news, I'm not going to be secure. That verse we read says it is hope that holds us and that anchors us. And we can hope because God won't change his mind, and it's impossible for him to lie, and he's already given us everything. The creator of the world is unshakable, and nothing is too difficult for him. But on top of all that, he wants a relationship with me. His desire is to be my father. His desire is for us to be talking to one another and having a relationship. He is all these things, and yet he looks down and sees me, and he sees you and you, and he wants relationship with you as well. So the last thing it's important to know about hope, we're supposed to share our hope. This one is so important, especially during this time. There's a whole huge world out there of people that are struggling. There's a whole community out there of people that are hopeless and that are frustrated and that have been disappointed. People who don't know God, and if they don't know God, they have no way of ever having true hope. They're just going to go through this life. You know, if this pandemic has been hard for those of us who know God, imagine going through it without having that to lean on. Even if we've messed up during it and tried to do things on our own, at least in the back of our mind, we know God's still there. There's still a God. There's people outside those doors that don't have that. And so what are we doing if we are not sharing this hope that we have? Life has been different lately and frustrating, but we aren't supposed to stay wrapped up in our own issues. It's easy to do. Just get wrapped up in my little life, my family's little life, take care of the problems going on, put out the little fires, and take care of us. That's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to have a hope and take it out there to people who need it. Because we've been given so much, we're not supposed to be selfish with it. You know, it's actually in our job description as followers of Jesus. I'm sure a lot of you have heard, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? That's the great commission we're supposed to do. But listen to how it's described here, because I love this verse. 2 Corinthians verse 5 says, all of this is a gift from God, who has brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. We're supposed to bring people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us, I'll say it again, he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Whose job is it? Ours. We're supposed to be out there pleading with people. We're also supposed to be ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador is? It's a representative. You need to take an honest look at your life and just say, am I doing a good job as an ambassador? Do I look like the one I'm supposed to be representing? Because we're all supposed to, and I fail miserably at it. But it's supposed to be our goal, is to be an ambassador and be out there sharing this hope with people. Are you doing what this verse says and pleading for your friends and family to come to him that don't know him? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Or have you, like I have, gotten stuck in the living day-to-day and just wondering what tomorrow's going to hold and trying to make it through? But you can't share this hope if you don't have this hope. It's impossible to go out and share it. And I'll give you a chance to do that in just a minute. But worship team, if you want to come on up here. I want to just share one more verse with you and close with this encouragement. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Think about that for a minute. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be immovable. But this promises, if we work enthusiastically for him, it's never wasted. It's never useless. So I just want to encourage you with that today. God has given us everything we need to stand firm in hope and to believe in him. But then once we have that hope, we're supposed to take it out there and to be enthusiastic about it and to share what we know with that dying and lost world that's out there. If we keep it all inside these walls, we're not doing what we're supposed to. Hope is meant to be shared with other people. I want you to take a minute and just close your eyes wherever you are. If you're here or you're watching online, just take a second, close your eyes, and just take a second and take an honest look at yourself. What does your life look like? Is it filled with hope? If someone bumped into you on the street, would they see a difference in you? Or do you look like everybody else? But like I said, you can't even share this hope if you don't have it yourself. So we never close our service without giving everybody an opportunity to meet Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you got saved earlier in life and you've walked away and today's the day you want to come back to him. So if that's you, if you've never made Jesus your Lord or you're wanting to come back to Jesus today, just while everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, just raise your hand. And I'll pray with you. So we just want to say, if you raise your hand, just pray something like this. Father God, Today, I'm coming to you. I am choosing your son, Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I believe that you sent him and he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And today I choose to serve him. Forgive me for all my sins, Father God. And I thank you that today I am made new and I will follow Jesus in Jesus' name. So if you prayed that, then you're in the family and you have that hope and that assurance of being with God forever and eternity, no matter what life looks like, you can rest in that hope. And I want you to just close your eyes one more time, because I know there's some of us in this room, and I'm going to include myself in that, that the past few months have been tough. And you want to leave today with more hope and a more solid hope than you came in with. If that's you, raise your hand and I want to pray with you. There's several hands going up. That's not something to be embarrassed about. You're coming to your daddy, God, and saying, help me to leave here with hope, and he'll do it. So let's pray with everybody who raised their hand. Father God, I bless everyone this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that we do not have to go around as people who are hopeless. Father God, that we can trust in you, that you never leave us or forsake us, that your plan for us is good and you cannot lie. And so this morning, God, I ask that you fill all of us up with a true hope. Lord God, a confident expectation that you will do what you promised. We trust you for that today, Father God. And I thank you that as we go out those doors, we would feel that hope rise up in us. You are our source, Father God. That confident hope would overflow in our lives and we would be filled with joy and peace like your word says. I bless them with that right now, Lord God. Everybody that raised their hand, Lord, that you would touch them in a special way today. We thank you for doing that, Father God, and we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.